I feel like it's the day I was born or something. I don't know. But, you know, this morning I was reading in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. And the Bible said that God wants to do things that are exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could think or ask. And, you know, for the last 3 years, I've been just loving Leon Timbo's ministry. He's been kind of a, yeah, give him a hand clap. Amen. I've fallen in love with Kendra because she's so sweet. And she's so pretty. But the last 3 years when we came into relationship, he's been sort of apostolic to us. He'd come by and impart to our worship teams and impart to our musicians and really kind of help mentor us. And we were so grateful. And then off he'd go. He has a ministry all over the nation, really internationally. Recently signing with a major record label, doing all kinds of powerful things. Just last week in Buffalo, New York, with some other major headliners and things, people that you would know. But that's not really why I'm telling you this. I love his worship. I love the fact that he knows God, and you can tell. And we are delighted today to make an announcement to you that is exceedingly abundantly above all that I could think or ask. You know, about 2-3 years ago, we said, Leon, can you help us find a worship leader? We're really looking for somebody that can take us into the presence of the Lord like you do and sing like you do and play like you do. Can we just make another one of you? And I think he was flattered by that. And of course, we never thought possible that it could be him. I said, just make one of you. And 2-3 years later, things have worked out where I can't get him out of my mind. And thank God, he thinks about me too. And just this past week, we know that it's God. So I'm going to introduce to you your brand new Creative Arts music pastor here at Church on the North Coast, Leon Timbo. Woo! Wait till you hear all that's going to go on. Woo! Woo!
Go on, sit down, go on, sit down, go on, sit down, go on, sit down. Oh, this is high. This is... Valley View is crazy. Y'all are crazy. Y'all are insane. I don't know whether you realize it or not, but there's not a church in all of Cleveland like this church. I promise you. And I've been to some major ones, but there's something about being hungry for the presence of God that you can't substitute with great singing. You can't substitute with great musicianship. Just somebody that's just desperate and hungry for the presence of God and willing to change the world. And so much is about to happen. I don't know whether you realize it, but today is not just Leon's first day, but in a lot of respects, this is your first day. Tell you why. Some of you are frustrated. Musically, you're songwriters, you're singers, retired too early, kind of Jordan in the game a little bit, and you've wanted an outlet, an opportunity for your gifts, for your voice to be heard. Some of you just like to write. You may not like to sing, you may just want to write. Some of us know how to tell other people not to sing. We're good at that too. But there are some gifts inside of you that this next season is going to need from you directly. It's bigger than this location. It's bigger than this city. And so what I'm saying is we are going to create an oasis in traveling and moving and going. The biggest passion on my heart was when I talk to people, I have about Pastor Lewis Cadden being number one, I promise you. But there's about 12 pastors in the city, in the nation, from Dr. Casey Price in California to a pastor in Atlanta. I had 12 pastors that oversaw my ministry on the road. And I would tell them how crazy it was, whether I was in the House of Blues or whether I was in the Civic Center, whether I was opening up for a secular artist or whether I was opening up for a Christian artist. I tell you, crazy people are just crazy people wherever you go. And so, and I would go back and we would talk about what God's doing for the kingdom, what God, how the kingdom is expanding in areas that aren't just in the four walls, that aren't just on Sunday morning and things like that. But my biggest passion, my biggest, I guess, place of emptiness was, Lord, when they ask me where the model of this ministry comes from, although there were 12 large mega church ministries in support, I could never say that either one of those ministries were a model for out of the box, out of the walls worship, you know? And on my heart, when I laid it before Pastor Cadden and the team, it connected with us instantaneously together. The nucleus and the model of this worship pursuit, this movement, if you will, it has a home. I'm looking at the home. I'm looking at the home right here, right now, with you guys. And I'm going to tell you why. There's a song of the Lord that has no color. There's a song of the Lord that has no genre. There's a song of the Lord that has no creed. There's a song of the Lord that comes from this place. I don't know how y'all all got here. I don't know. There's a song of the Lord that connects hymns to spiritual songs. There's a song of the Lord that does it in the same arena, in the same atmosphere. I don't know how all of y'all got here. We got people that's in their 70s that are running faster than people in their 20s. I'm telling you, I don't know how all of you got here. But some kind of way you look around and tell somebody you got here. Tell them. You tell me you got here. Now, I'm from the South, so y'all going to have to work with my dialect. I'm country. Don't play with me. I'm country. So when I say words like ain't and couldn't and can't, don't be looking at me funny. This is who I am. And so we're going to have worship series that combine prayer and worship. We're going to be doing recordings, a lot of recordings, because there are songwriters here, and we can't put all y'all songs on one album. And there's just so much that we want to do, not just for the city, not just for this nation, but a model of the bride of Christ right here out of Cleveland. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so this day is a first day, not for whose church is the best. Baby, that story's gone a long time ago. If your biggest claim to fame is our church is better or bigger than your church, you have missed it. Because I can contact 3 million Twitter followers in quicker time than you can gather 3 million people together in one building, I promise you. So the technology's changed everything. What we need is a pure, clean sound of the word of the Lord in song. And that's what we're going to do. How many singer-songwriters do we have here? Yeah. We have rehearsal. That was just the rehearsal announcement. When we have rehearsal, we want to see you. And then there are going to be some writing sessions. I travel with a team, and my team, we're bringing back and forth here. So we're also doing lessons for singing. If you think you're like almost there, like I can sing sometimes, me and the radio in a car, we're great. But you never really need it, you know, you need somebody to tell you you got it or you don't have it. You know, you don't want to ask your husband because he always say, trying to watch the game, you're still singing, I'm worshiping. You know, you don't want to ask that. And brothers, you don't want to ask your wife because it's like, you ain't been singing all these years. Why are you going to try to start doing something now? If you need a neutral zone, if you need a neutral place, we have people that are going to teach you about singing because everybody has a DNA. You have a DNA song. Listen, if Macy Gray can make millions, I promise you there's space for you. I like Macy Gray. Hold on. I like Macy. I'm just telling you. There's some room. And so, and even with the hymns, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. What a joy we share as we tarry there. None other has ever known. There's some things that only hymns can do. And there's going to be just platforms for us to combine the spiritual, prophetic song of the Lord and the hymn. And we're going to have all of that going on. I'm crazy. I'm excited about it. And so thank you, guys. I'm honored to serve in this capacity. I can't wait to see y'all again. Amen. Amen.
I love you, man.
Awesome. Wow. Well, I feel like it's my birthday. It's Christmas morning. And, you know, I leaned over. My daughter Mary was there, and she's crying. She said, I was in the first service, Dad. And in the worship, I already got my sermon for this week's youth services. I said, yeah? She goes, and now I'm getting next week's in this worship service. It's just powerful when you get in that atmosphere, what God releases and what you can expect. And what I'm real excited about is the tutelage that Leon brings. He has an expertise in identifying giftings and bringing that gifting into maturity. And I'm excited about that because I see a lot of our children who are musically gifted and they just need the guidance. And I think the best place to get it is right here in the house of God. And I think you've got somebody now that's going to be able to do just that. You know, I'm really excited about a lot of things this morning, but I'm going to tell you one of the major excitements for me, Kendra. You know what it is? I am going to produce my first solo album now that Leon is here. Woo! Oh, my goodness. That ain't going to happen. Don't worry. Listen, a dad took his children out for a walk. They decided to go to the beach and up and down the shoreline. You know, you see all kinds of crazy things. His four-year-old little son ran on ahead. You know how kids are. They like to run up ahead and explore and see what they can find. Well, the little boy came upon a dead seagull. To his amazement and shock, he ran back to his daddy. He said, Daddy, 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 come quick, come quick. And he took him by the hand and he said, Daddy, what happened to the seagull? And his daddy looked down at him and said, Son, it's all right. He said, that seagull went to heaven. The little boy looked at him with a real confused look on his face. And he said, well, Daddy, did God throw him back down? He didn't quite get it. You know what I'm saying? This morning, I want to talk to you about dreaming big. Now, I have to tell you, this sermon is to me. If you all want to listen, that's fine. But God gave me a word. And he said, you know what? It's time to stop playing it safe. It's time to recognize that he wants to give us the desires of our heart. The psalmist said that in 37 verses 4 and 5. If you could put it up on the screen. He said to delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. And I believe also the second verse, verse 5, is really being spoken prophetically to us. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him. Come on, say it with me. And he shall bring it to pass. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time to stop playing life safe. This is a moment when the Holy Spirit is challenging those who have desire in their heart for excellence, desire in their heart for victory, desire in their heart for more. It's sort of like Joshua chapter 1 and verse 4. God came to him and he said, Joshua, my servant Moses is dead. Now arise and cross over the Jordan. In other words, I've got more for you than what you've been experiencing. You can't sit here just because Moses has passed away. It is not over. I've got more for you. And that barrier, that boundary called the Jordan River, no, you're not going to stay on this side of it. I'm going to empower you and I'm going to make you to cross over it and reach the other side. Because there is territory and land and there is blessing on that side of the Jordan that I have arranged for you. It's sort of like Samuel the prophet. King Saul was the king of Israel. He had died and came under the judgment of God. And Samuel was mourning over the fact that King Saul was dead. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 16:1, the Lord had to come to Samuel and rebuke him. He said, how long are you going to mourn over Saul, seeing I've rejected him from reigning over Israel? You can't sit there and continue to grieve over what you thought shoulda, woulda, coulda. In other words, he was saying, look, it didn't work out. It's not going to make it. This thing is over. But you can't sit there in the molly grubs. You can't sit there and mourn. You've got to rise up, fill your horn with oil, and I want you to go find Jesse, the Bethlehemite, and I'm going to provide myself a king. I want to encourage you today that you are about to cross previously uncharted waters. You are about to go over barriers and boundaries and parameters that some of us have lived under because your mom and dad lived under them, your grandparents lived under them, culture has told you you can't cross over them. Let me tell you something. This is a new day in the things of life. I have to encourage you today to change the song from row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream. That song won't cut it because it's not time to row your boat. It's time to rock, rock, rock your boat gently, violently down the stream. Now, let me tell you what happens if you adopt that song. My son, about a year or so, maybe you heard about this, maybe you saw some pictures on Facebook, but let me just bear with me. He said, Dad, you want to go whitewater rafting with me? I said, sure, I'd love to do that. Spend some time, bond as a father and a son. He said, we're going to go down to West Virginia, New River or something? New River, everybody's done the New River. It's not that bad. I mean, you bump a few places. He didn't tell me it wasn't the New River. He said, it was the gully. Now, the gully is near the New River, but it only happens one time a year. People from all over the world come to the gully to do these class 5 and above white water rapids. They open up the dam and the water just rushes down this previously dry gully and creates this thing for about 30 days. You've got to get there early in the morning, make a reservation, and sign your life away, your insurance, any kind of liability and claim to the ownership. They go through a video and say, you can die if you choose to do this activity. Well, my son didn't tell me any of that. He was just saying, Dad, we're going to bond together. And off we went. Drove all the way down to West Virginia. I get up in the morning and off we were to the location of the rafts. And it's interesting because I'm a tall guy. My son's kind of big. The guy looked at us and he said, you two, you go in the front. Now, I know enough from roller coaster riding that when you're brave, you go in the front. I want to be in the middle or in the back somewhere where I can hold on or grab somebody, right? I said, well, okay. Because my son said, Dad, get in. It's no big deal. I said, all right. So I got in the front. And wait a minute, you're showing them too fast. Go back up because I don't want them to see me in the water yet. I want them to see me in the boat. And there I am with the blue sleeves up in the front, and my son's up there navigating. He's got his hand there like that, like he's all large and in charge. And he said, Dad, I want to show you and teach you something. This is what it's like to rock, rock, rock your boat violently down the stream, to cross the Jordan and to fill your horn with oil and go anoint another king. I thought, Lord Jesus, he isn't preaching that, is he? And that's exactly what God was preaching. So go to the next slide. Let me show you what happened. We just came through this class 3 or 4, and it was no big deal. But we are about to go through the most violent of all rapids. You see that big rock right in front of us? Well, that is the result of hitting that rock. There was about 8 of us in that raft. My son is on the top end. Me with the blue sleeves are about to go under the water. Do you notice that? Now, in these rafts, if you've ever been in one, they have like a rubber little cross piece that you could put your feet under to kind of hold you, you know, so you don't go flying out. So I put my foot way under there because the guy said, look, this rock is the worst. Hold on, because this is a real treacherous place. Then he said, remember, if you get thrown out of the raft, swim to the right or the left. Do not stay in the middle because the rapids are so strong, the currents are so strong, you'll be like You'll be like a piece of clothing in that washing machine agitator, and you'll be flying all over the place, and you're probably going to get hurt. I said, why are you telling me this? So anyway, I'm gone there. Go back to the one where I'm still in the boat. Can you go back to the previous one? There I am. I'm still in there. So I'm falling out of the boat. My son's on the top of the boat. And everything went out of the boat except my leg. My leg was inside the raft underneath that cross piece that I was trying to hold on to. My son was on the top. Go to the next slide. Looking down at me. I'm under the water looking up at him saying, this is the last time I'll ever do anything with you. Because I figured I was going to die. My leg felt like it was broke because the currents were so rough that I was going back and forth. My leg was staying stationary. And finally, I went under in the water. I was being turned, tossed all over. I remember, swim to the right. So I'm down about 300 yards that quick. I mean, it didn't take long. So I'm swimming. My legs hurt. I'm like, oh, Jesus, what am I doing in this place? And they said to us, if you get thrown out, jump in anybody's raft so you don't drown. Don't worry if it's not your raft. I said, okay, I'm just going to look for a raft. Finally, I see a raft. The problem with this raft is it was full of college students. My raft had some, you know, like normal older people in it. But this was all these good-looking girls and guys that were out for a fun day. And here comes this old man floating in the water. So I reach for their raft, and they grab my hand because they were taught that if anybody gets in the water, you get them out. Well, as they're trying to pull me, these two young, pretty little college co-eds, trying to pull me in their raft, I realize that my shorts are at my ankles. I'm not kidding you. It's the truth. It's not a pretty picture. But I did have underwear on. So my leg is hurting so bad, I thought it was broke. I'm in shock because of the injury. I almost drowned and swallowed so much water, I'm coughing. I'm shaking so bad, I can't grab hold of the side of the raft. And these two pretty little girls are trying to pull me up in the raft. And the one girl, when my bottom half got out, and I was buttocks up. I remember hearing her say, oh my. I said, Lord, I don't know why I'm here. Now let me just give you a warning. If you become so emboldened today to stop rowing your boat down the stream gently, and you decide to become courageous and spirit-filled and mighty in God and start rocking your boat, I am not responsible for what may happen to you. Later that day, when I was on crutches and in bed for the next 8 hours and couldn't move, the guy came to us to check to see if I was okay. I said, yeah, I'm doing okay. He said, you know, I didn't tell you guys this before we left, but just the day before, at that very place where you fell out, a 23-year-old young man lost his life. This is very serious. He hit the rock that you just missed, and we had to pull him out. The currents are so violent that if you get caught under the water, it'll just keep you under. You can't get up. And he got wedged under a rock. And I started to think about how at times it's easier and safer and more comfortable to stay home, to not get in the raft, to not trust someone else's judgment, to play it safe. But let me tell you something about people that play it safe. they've got no funny stories to tell. I've got a story to tell. And I want you to know that God has a story to tell about you as well. Because the rest of your life is going to be the best of your life. If you begin to have big dreams. But let me warn you that when you begin to dream big, the people that are connected to you at this very moment are going to do their very best to turn them into nightmares. Because most people won't believe in it. In Genesis, the Bible tells us in 37 that it was Joseph who had a dream. He first had a dream of the sheaves out in a field and how one larger bundle and the smaller bundles bowed down to him. He goes to tell his brothers thinking they'd be excited. They got angry with him thinking, well, what, we try to be the small sheaves and you're the big sheaf? You think Joseph would have got it right there, but he wasn't very smart. He went to bed that night and got a second dream. This time he saw the stars and the planets and the moons and everything bowing down to him. Now, with the reaction of the first dream, you would think he wouldn't tell anybody the second dream. But he did. And those brothers did their very best to turn his dream into a nightmare. I want to warn you ahead of time. There are class 5 rapids ahead. I want to tell you there are dangers ahead. I want to tell you that there are people that won't believe in what you're dreaming and what you're believing God for. And they will do all that they can to turn your dream into a nightmare. But I've got a God that is able to bring you safely to the journey that He has sent you on. And that He will do exactly what He said He would. Listen, eyes haven't seen and ears haven't heard. And I don't know about you, but I got a feeling that church, we've been playing it too safe for too long. And it's time to allow God to have a little room bigger than what we've given Him. Your dashboard size God isn't big enough for the dreams that He has for your life and for your future. Genesis 28, Jacob went to bed one day, took a rock for a pillow, laid down on it. Suddenly saw the heavens opened up. Man, he was having a great dream. Then he saw a ladder come down out of the heaven. Then angels ascending and descending on that ladder. That was a powerful dream. But you know, that dream was so big that the Bible says suddenly the Lord of hosts Himself stepped into that dream. God Himself stepped in on the top of that ladder. See, sometimes your dreams are not big enough because God cannot step in to little thinking. God can't step into small thinking or traditional thinking. You and I have got to step out so God can step in. There's a little boy, he's 5 years of age, and he wanted to play piano. His hands were so small, and they said, you know, you can't play piano. You're not really made for that. He was a little tiny guy, and he couldn't even reach the pedals, and they were trying to discourage him, but boy, he wouldn't be discouraged. He decided that he was going to practice and practice and practice, so he learned chopsticks real well. I don't know if everybody played chopsticks before, but it's a recognizable tune. Well, he kept playing it and playing it and playing it. He got so proficient on it, his dad was like shocked that he was getting so talented, so good at this keyboard playing chopsticks. So he decided he was going to take him to a concert. There was a master pianist from Italy that was going to do a show in their local civic center. And so he bought tickets and brought his son. His son was so excited. You know what he did, though? They were walking into the auditorium and happened to come by the stage. The little boy, as curious as they can be at 5 years of age, looked behind the curtain and saw the concert piano back there. He decided to let his dad's hand go, get up behind the curtain, and he started playing chopsticks. Well, he was so into it, so enthralled, dad never even recognized what had happened. Suddenly, the concert, it was time to begin. The curtains opened up. To the amazement of all the people, it wasn't the master pianist. It was a little 5-year-old boy playing chopsticks. He didn't realize that the curtain had opened. When he finally did look, to his amazement, he was in shock and nearly started crying. About that time, a big, large figure came behind him and put his big hands on his shoulders. It was the master pianist. He said, "Son, keep playing." He turned around and sat down next to him, and he picked out of his own memory a Beethoven piece that was in the same cadence and the same key as chopsticks. And as the little boy, as proficient as he was in what he had learned, was playing with all of his heart and all of his might, this master pianist began to play so eloquently the Beethoven symphony, bringing in the woodwinds, and then he brought in the horns, and then he brought in the percussions. Before you know it, the entire audience was on their feet with huge applause for what had been accomplished. What made the difference? You see, you may be here today thinking, all I can do is play chopsticks. Let me tell you, all you need is God to step in as the master pianist and be able to do what only He can do. God can put His super on your natural and make you go to heights that you never even dreamed possible. That's what Leon was talking about. There is songs to be written. There is scores to be conducted. There are those that arts that have to be discovered. And many of the deposits in our life are there underprivileged and not encouraged. But God is about to do something to cross us over the previous barriers that we've had in our minds. The Jordan rivers, or mourning over what we think we needed when we lost it. You didn't need King Saul. It wasn't God's plan in the first place. So stop mourning over what you've lost. Fill up your horn with oil and go anoint what I've got waiting on you, because God has something great for your life. And I know this is hard. Sometimes you don't like doing this, but you need to look over at somebody and tell them this morning, the rest of your life is about to be the best of your life. Come on, tell them. Come on, tell them. Come on, tell them. The rest of your life is about to be the best of your life. Now, would you bear with me for just a few more minutes? All three of you? All right, I'm going to proceed. I'm going to go ahead and dismiss the rest of it. But thank you. I just want to share with you some things that I think are so vital to this truth. In 2 Kings chapter 4, you might want to turn there or just look at the screen. Verses 9 and 10. The Syrian country was up against Israel, and we're going to destroy them. And we see that there was such a fight against them. And Elisha, that's not in 2 Kings chapter 4. That's in another scripture. Let me go to 2 Kings chapter 4 first. This woman, the Shunammite woman, and then I'll get to the king of Assyria. She was so enthused with the presence of the man of God that would come to her and knew that he had an anointed word. She said this, look now, I know this is a holy man of God who passes by regularly. Now don't turn the scripture yet, hold it right there. Here's the first point of dreaming big. Here's the first intersection where you're going to be challenged. If you know that God is moving in your life, if you sense presence of the Lord like you haven't for a while, or maybe there's a renewal of vision and dream, listen to me now. You've got to get into verse 10. If you recognize that there is a visitation of God in this region, or on your life, or in this church, do what the Shunammite woman did. Look at verse 10. Now flip to the next verse. Please let us make a small upper room on the wall, and let us put a bed there for him. Now what was she doing? She was making room for what God was doing in her life. Now, let me tell you something about this room. It was not a guest room. It was an exclusive room. There was only one person that laid in that room, and that was the man of God with the word of God. She made provision or made room for God. Look, God is a big God. And if you're sitting here this morning with your little sand pail expecting to have capacity for a big God, it's time that you maybe turn that in for a wheelbarrow. Or maybe a wheelbarrow, throw that away and get yourself a swimming pool. I don't know what you need to do, but we need to increase our capacity for God. Three things that she did. The first thing is she made a bed for the man of God, or the visitation, or the presence of God. What is making a bed? It is learning to rest in the presence of God. It is learning not to hurry in the presence of God. Yeah. Folks, look, when I went to bed, I'm looking for 8 hours. Don't wake me up at 5 or 6 and say it's time to get up. I like my bed too much. In other words, when you're in the presence of God, learn to rest in the presence of God. Because some powerful things happen when you get comfortable in the bed. Intimacy will begin to develop with the God that created you. Not only that, but a table. She places a table in that room, and it's pretty powerful because at the table, it happens with my family all the time. We sit around the table and we talk. Do you ever talk around a table? You have food and you have drinks and you're just kind of relational and you're kind of getting to know each other and you're spending quality time together. That table represented conversation that she was having with this vision. She was having dialogue with God. Not only was she resting in it, becoming intimate with it, making room for it, but she was dialoguing with it. You've got to learn to talk back to God when He starts talking to you. Then a lampstand. A lampstand speaks of revelation. It speaks of inspiration. It speaks of illumination. It speaks of seeing further, going further, knowing more, being able to do that which was previously unable to do, and having to see God expand your horizon. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're not making room for increase, it's doubtful that you'll ever experience increase. You know, when God began to speak to me, He said, "Look, Lou, I know this is a step of faith. I know it's a step of faith for Leon. But we both believe that if we'll make a big enough capacity for God, like Jacob, God will step right into the dream. It's nice having angels ascending and descending in your life. I love having the supernatural happen. I love seeing the heavens open and God pouring out a blessing. But I'm sorry, if I can have the man himself, if I can have Jesus make an appearance right there in my dream, you can have the angels, you can have the ladder, I'll take Jesus any day." Can you get an amen in here? You know what I'm talking about? So it's time for us to expand our vision and believe that He's going to do it for us. See, we minimize our dreams. That's what I was talking about earlier, and I got a little bit in a hurry. The Syrian nation was coming against Israel. And this king didn't know what to do, so he contacted Elisha the prophet. Elisha was sick with the sickness of which he would die. We talked about him a couple weeks ago and how his 14th miracle came after his death. He raised another with his own bones. But I want you to know that Elisha was able to tell this king that he needed to increase his capacity for God. This is where you and I are going to have to make this decision. Do I play it safe or do I go all the way with God? Yeah, I know there's risks, but I am a risk taker because I've got Jesus with me. I know that He'll navigate me through the rough spots. He'll pick me up when I fall, and He'll even drag me back in the raft when I fall out, because I know my God is faithful. So look at 2 Kings 13 and verse 18. 2 Kings 13 and verse 18. He said, "Take the arrows that you have in your hand, and I want you to strike the ground." So he struck the ground three times and he stopped. It's interesting, isn't it, how he only could go so far. Then the prophet spoke to him in verse 19. He was angry with him. He said, "Listen, had you struck the ground five or six times, then I would have struck Syria until you destroyed it. But now you're only going to strike Syria three times." In other words, God can only do that which capacity you've created. If all you can do is three strikes, that's all God can do in your life. You see, you can receive the word, but it's only going to be as effective as you put the word in operation in your life. It's time for us to expand our horizons and expand our borders and to realize that there is nothing small about God. There is nothing minuscule about my relationship with Him, and that we are on the precipice of seeing a great big God do a great big thing right here in the little old region called Cleveland, Ohio. You and I have got to begin to cross the Jordan. We've got to stop mourning over things that we've lost and talking about how it should have been and what it could have been and start embracing what it is. See, some of us do life the way we've always done life. In verse 11 of that text, 2 Kings 13, you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that this king did exactly what the kings did before him. In other words, some of us are settling for second best because your mother and father settled for second best. Some of us have settled for second best because not only has mom and dad, but grandparents and great-grandparents. In other words, it is what our culture or our generation or our society has said that we deserve or that we're capable of. You and I have got to start living outside the parameters of those that have gone before us previously. You can come to me and say, well, we've never done that in church before. And I'm going to get excited. Because you know what? I am not relegated to what has been done before. I believe God is doing a new thing. I believe God wants to expand the horizon. I believe God wants to do something that has never been seen before. I agree with Leon. I believe there is a sound that's got to come from the body of Christ. And it's not a black sound or a brown sound. It's not a white sound. It is the sound that comes from heaven that will reverberate all through the body of Christ. I believe it's going to be birthed right here in Cleveland, Ohio. I believe we are going to be a model that is going to cause the nations to take notice. Why? Because I believe in a big God. Talking about not being a black sound or a white sound. There was two buddies. They worked together in construction. And they were always arguing about if Jesus was white or if Jesus was black. You know, they were good friends, but every time they got to that subject, they'd get in this confrontation. Well, tragically, both of them died the same day. They went to heaven. They're standing at the gates of Peter, and both of them started in. He's black. No, he's white. He's black. No, he's white. Peter, would you please settle this? We're still arguing about whether Jesus is black or whether Jesus is white. St. Peter said, wait a minute. Hold on. I'll go get Jesus. And Jesus walks up. Comes through the gate, looks at both guys and says, when is this? It's time for you to create a God dream. You understand what I'm talking about? George Barna said this. Vision is not always incremental. Instead, it could be a total redevelopment. Vision, if you could put that up on the screen, please, is not always incremental. Instead, it could be a total redevelopment. It's like the little leaguer who began to proclaim to his dad, I'm going to be the best hitter in baseball. I'm going to be the best hitter in baseball. I'm going to be the best hitter in baseball. I'm going to be the best hitter in baseball. It's first game, first time up, struck out. Second time up, struck out. Third time up, struck out. Looked over at his dad and said, Dad, I'm going to be the best pitcher in baseball. I'm going to be the best pitcher in baseball. In other words, some of us, because things didn't work out the first time, maybe God's totally redeveloping you. Maybe he is steering you to where you should have been in the first place. Maybe you got sidetracked by nightmares from friends who couldn't believe in your dream. Maybe you didn't fill your horn with oil. Maybe you were mourning over what was. Maybe you just couldn't break free from the fact that your leadership or those that were influential or the resource in your life were now gone. Let me tell you something. You're about ready to redevelop or reinvent your whole life. I feel like I've been in ministry for 35 years or so, or total, and I believe that God right now is redesigning and redeveloping me. I believe God is reinventing me. I believe God is reinventing church. I don't for a minute believe that church has to be the way it's always been. I don't believe you could turn on TBN and watch some church service and go, yeah, they're having church. No, I believe the time is coming when God says for those of us who will cross over the previously established barriers, for those of us that will rise up and go anoint the next thing, for those of us that will hear that God is bigger than our dashboard-sized Jesus and recognize that he can step in as a master pianist and do for us while we're playing chopsticks that nobody else can do. I believe God is about to introduce a kingdom that this world has not yet seen. You believe that? Come on, shout hallelujah. Believe that with all my heart. Proverbs 29:18 says this, without a vision, people perish. Gary Collins, a great writer, says this, when vision fades, when there is no vision, when you lose your dreams, passion cools. When passion cools, enthusiasm dissipates. And when enthusiasm dissipates, indecision and inertia take over. Hope disappears. I believe we've been having church without passion. We've been serving God without enthusiasm. We are now undecided. We don't know what to support and what to believe, and we don't know whether God is or isn't. We're full of indecision. Inertia set in. We can't seem to get anybody moving. You know, I've been pastoring long enough. Some people that have lost their passion, I can go up and give them a $100 bill brand new and they'd be mad because I only gave them one. I can tell them I'm going to pay off this or do this for them, and they'll say, well, why didn't you do this? I can't get a smile out of them. I can't seem to get their passion and their fire back over a lost soul. To them, it's just an inconvenience because the service went long and they're trying to get to where they need to go. It's because vision is faded. Ladies and gentlemen, you and I have got to go back to sleep. In other words, get in the presence of God. Make room for Him. Put a table in there. Put a bed in there. Put a lamp in there. And let God begin to speak to us in intimate moments. Why? So He can tell us that there is a big, big world out there that only a big, big God can fill. But that if you and I will believe Him, all things are possible. And we're going to see the kingdom of God begin to manifest in Northeastern Ohio. God showed us many years ago, Tina, you'll say with me as an affirmation, and my kids, if they remember, we bought this property and there was a prophecy over it. Somebody's finger went on the photograph and they said, you see this highway here? I prophesy that there will be cars backed up coming from the turnpike and coming from Route 2. And that they will be coming into this house. Why? Because they'll be coming from all over the world to learn what God has deposited here that is making a difference and literally transforming lives. He began to speak to us about an airport. We're not going to be able to use Cleveland International. We're going to have our own landing strip because we're having so many private jets come in and people sending people from all over the world. I'm not talking about just church people. I'm talking about corporate people. I'm talking about individuals in politics and nations of the world. Why? Because there's a big God that's been released in a little city, and God wants to show Himself big to those who will dream big with Him. Ladies and gentlemen, this is an opportunity for you and me to be able to embrace our future. And I'm going to close here in the next couple of minutes, so don't get too nervous. But I'm going to tell you something. Some of us have got to the point where we no longer are thinkers of the upside down nature. My Bible says in Acts 17 verse 6 that when the disciples came to a city, they recognized them as those who had turned the world upside down. And they came here too. You and I have got to learn to be an upside down thinker. You and I have got to begin to embrace the fact that we're not cut out of a mold, that we are unique. We are called of God. We have an assignment from Him that nobody else can fulfill. And I'm about to step into it. I'm going to give up, row, row, row your boat, and I'm going to rock my world. And even if it takes great risk, it doesn't matter anymore, because I believe that God's for me and He's not against me. Some of you are sitting here going, yeah, that sounds good, but my dreams, they're all dried up. Some of you might be sitting here and go, yeah, I have dreams, but they're all shattered. Others say, well, yeah, I have a dream, but that's vanished. Well, let me remind you of Ezekiel 37. Those dreams were dried up too. They were dried up and disjointed and disconnected, and they were spread across an entire valley. But God stepped in one day to a prophet who happened to walk by, and He said, can these bones live? You may be in a dried up dream, but I'm here to tell you today, God wants to speak to that which is dried up, and He wants to give you that which will fill you up and cause a mighty army to stand up and fulfill the call of God. Shattered dreams like Naomi. Naomi's name means bitter. She walked around there and said, hey, Naomi, hey, Naomi. She says, don't call me Naomi. Naomi meant joy. I'm sorry, Naomi meant joy. She said, call me Mara, bitter. She's walking around saying, call me bitter. Call me bitter. You may be here today with a bitterness in your heart, a bitterness over what didn't come to pass. Maybe your world has handed you a bad deck of cards. Maybe you're sitting here thinking that you've been disadvantaged. If I'd have been a male, I'd have been better off, or female. If I'd have been born a different ethnicity, if I had more education, listen to me. Don't you allow what your circumstance that has happened around you to determine your future. Because Naomi understood that there was a Ruth. And where there's a Ruth, there's always a Boaz. God has a Boaz somewhere in your present, somewhere in your future to do what? To redeem everything that the devil has stolen from you. Vanishing dreams are just that. Here today and gone tomorrow. God met a man with a vanishing dream by the name of Gideon. He was locked up in a little wine press. Why? Because he was trying to cut out a little bit of harvest so he could eat. Because the Philistines, every time harvest was ripe, they'd come in and steal it away. They were living in caves. They were living under fear. And God came into that wine press that day and said, "Hey, mighty man of valor, what are you doing?" And he began to dialogue with God. And I understand that when you've lost over and over again, when your life becomes bitter through circumstances and premature death in your life and loss of great magnitude, it's difficult to see that God can once again speak to dry bones. I understand what it's like when you go through a season where everybody seems to be taking and nobody's giving. And there you are in the bottom of the wine press just trying to have enough to keep your life going. But let me tell you something. God is here to speak to your dry bones. God is here not only to speak to your dry bones, but God is here to give you a Boaz. And God is here to raise you up to be a mighty warrior, Gideon, who's going to defeat the Midianites and deliver his people from their oppression. I'm talking today to dream makers. I'm talking today to dreamers who are ready to step in to the reality of what God has promised. Look, if not now, when? If not us, who? Come on, come on. Who is it going to be? It might as well be us. It might as well be now. Why wait till next year? Why wait till another generation? I refuse to retire the same way that I came into this. I'm going out in a blaze of glory, and I believe that God is about to do supernatural things. So my prayer today is that you'd begin to dream big enough to allow God to step into it. Dream big enough. Yeah, angels are awesome. Ladders are cool. Open heavens, man, that's to shout about. But give me Jesus. Let him step into what I'm believing for. And when I know he does, I'll be like that little five-year-old. All I can do is do chopsticks with two fingers. But when he puts the master pianist next to me and begins to orchestrate only as he can orchestrate, there will be a sound that'll rise up out of heaven, and it will cause eyes to be turned and ears to be opened. God wants to do a new thing in our day. And so we need to learn to shake it off. Hallelujah. Shake it off. This morning I had this crazy dream. A storm was coming. I was trying to save people from the storm. I kept telling them, "Come on, get in the shelter, get in the shelter." But they were ignoring me. And I couldn't get them to get into the shelter. The second time, another storm came. The clouds were so imposing and so dark, and I could see tornadic turning of clouds. And I thought, man, this is imminent. These people are going to die. And I said, "God, why am I the one to have to tell them that they need to get into shelter? I mean, why am I responsible?" That lasted about 2 seconds. He never answers stupidity. So I walked out there, and I said, "Everybody, listen, you need to come in here." And they came into my basement, into my mom's house, actually, where I grew up at. And I could see it as if it was so real. Tens and 20s and 30s and hundreds of people began coming down the steps. And I said, "Get over there. Get up against the wall. It's coming from that direction. Get up against the wall. Because if we can get in the right place, no matter what storms are overhead, we are going to be safe and secure in the very presence and provision of God." I'm not promising you you're not going to have storms. I'm not promising you there's not going to be dark clouds impending upon your life, but I'm going to tell you this. If you'll follow the leader, if you'll stop singing that goofy little row, row, row your boat song merrily down the stream gently and all that junk, and start rocking your boat You know, my wife used to do this to me. I don't like roller coasters, and I don't like Ferris wheels when they're real high. And we get up to the top, and you know what she did to me? She started rocking that thing. That's mean. That is mean. You should have never done that to me. I said, don't do that. Don't do that. She'd laugh. She'd think that's the funniest thing. She's still laughing right now because I would be so petrified. I said, don't rock it. Don't rock it. Sometimes you just got to learn that the people you're with need a little bit of rocking. And it's all right because they're going to make it. They're going to live. And without that rocking, they'll never experience what only a rocking can bring. How many know today that you're setting up, God's setting you up for some supernatural big things? You believe that? You believe that? I believe that. Wow, if you believe that, come on, get on your feet. Let me pray for you. I believe that. Man, if I could, I'd run through this place and I would lay hands on every person and I'd say, Shundai. You say, what does Shundai mean? I don't know. Just sounds spiritual. Shundai. I mean, I feel the energy of God. I feel the supernatural quality of the presence of God. I feel like God is visiting us today, and He's got something big for you and for me. I mean, oh, He's a big guy. Come on, lift your hands up if you want this prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, you see every hand that's lifted. You see every heart that's open. You see every mind, oh God, that you have spoken to today. Father, I know the vanishing dreams, shattered dreams, oh God, those that have been delayed and denied. Father, we know today that you're about to do another visitation. And Father, let us be like the Shunammite woman who will not miss our visitation and recognize that we need to make a room for you. God, we're ready to rest in your presence. We are ready, oh God, to become conversationalists with you. We, oh God, are ready to receive the revelation and illumination and the inspiration that we need as the lamp of your glory and your presence begins to guide. I know, God, where you guide, you'll provide. Where you give vision, there'll be provision. So I speak life into every man, woman, boy, and girl. I speak life into every business. I speak life into every marriage. I speak life into every ministry. I speak life, oh God, into every vision of every person who believe for great things and big things in their life. Father, right now we pray for Church on the North Coast. Help us to be, oh God, like a shepherd who will begin to stand alongside others who maybe have lost their way, be it churches or pastors or whomever. Father, help us to only restore. Help us only, oh God, to breathe life into. Help us, oh God, to gather the people from the north, south, and east, and west. And let us raise up a standard of the kingdom of God. Father, I thank you for my brothers and sisters. I thank you, Lord, that they love you with all of their heart. And I'm asking you now, God, to release them into their Jordan experience. Release them, oh God, into their Bethlehem journey. Oh, hallelujah. Can we just bless him right now? Can we just thank him in advance for what we know he's going to do? Hallelujah. I believe in Jesus. I believe in Lord. Woo! I believe it. You are awesome. Woo! You are an awesome God. Put your hand on somebody's shoulder and just begin to pray that they would have that room for God, exclusive room for God, that they would furnish that room with rest in His presence. Hallelujah. Come on, pray for them that they would furnish that room with conversation with the Holy Spirit.
I'm gonna make room.
Oh, that they would walk in the light of His glory. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Bless them now. And we give you thanks, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. One more time.
I'm gonna dream real big. I'm gonna dream real big. I'm gonna dream real big. I'm gonna make room for God, yeah. I'm gonna dream real big. I'm gonna dream real big. I'm gonna dream real big. I'm gonna make room for God. I'm gonna dream real big. I'm gonna dream real big. I'm gonna dream real big. I'm gonna make, declare it, declare it. I'm gonna dream real big, yeah. rock my boat, girl. Rock my boat, Lord. Rock my boat, yeah. Rock my boat, God. Rock my boat, God. Oh, rock my boat, oh. I'm gonna dream real big. I'm gonna dream real big. I'm gonna make room for God. You don't have to look no further. You don't have to look no further. 'Cause we are ready, ready to turn the world upside down. Oh, you don't have to look no further. You don't have to look no further. I'm gonna turn the world upside down. I'm gonna dream, dream real big, yeah. Dream real big, yeah. I'm gonna make room for God. Ooh. Stop playing it safe, yeah. Stop playing it safe, yeah. Stop playing it safe. Tell, say, stop playing it safe, hey. Stop playing it safe, hey. Stop playing it safe. Stop playing it safe. On Monday. Stop playing it safe. On Tuesday.
Stop playing it safe.
On Wednesday.
Stop playing it
on
safe.
Thursday,
stop playing it safe.
On Friday,
stop playing it safe.
Stop playing it safe.
Stop playing it safe.
Stop playing it safe.
Stop playing it safe. Stop playing it safe.
Just real quick, if you're here today and not born again, you don't even know what that is, but you want to go on in God, and you want a relationship with Him, it's as simple as ABC. Acknowledge your need for God by understanding we were all born in sin. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that He died and His blood was shed for our sins remission. C, ABC. Confess Him as the Lord and Savior of your life. Ask Him to come in. If you'll do that today, I can tell you based on the authority of God's Word, heaven will be your final destination. We're going to have people here at the front to pray with you if you need prayer. And whatever need you might also have, we want to pray with you. If you're here visiting, if you want that book, we'd love to meet you and shake your hand. Tina and I will do that and meet you in that little room there on the right. Hey, man, we're just excited. I'm thankful. Thankful to Leon. Thankful for his family. I mean, they live in Atlanta, and they're commuting back and forth. So, I mean, we need to pray for them, pray for Kendra and her family. But I know that this is God, and He's about to do something supernatural, right? All I can play is chopsticks. It's all right. God bless y'all. We love you. Live right. Love everybody. Pray hard.